The Bible says in Genesis chapter number 2, Genesis number 2, the Bible says from verse 21, the Bible says, "And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall upon Adam, and he slept. And the Lord took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh instead thereof. And the rib which the Lord God had taken from man made he a woman, and brought her unto the man. And Adam said, This is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman, because she was taken out of man. Therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother, and shall be cleave unto his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed." Amen. I think there's so many beautiful things about women, you know. But as I meditate, you know, just for me, six things just popped out, and the first is the fact that the woman is a special breed, and for me, the woman is an improved version of the man in creation. Amen. She's a special breed. She's the hybrid, the hybrid of the man creation, an improved version, and not at all a second grade in terms of creation. You know, God had made every other thing. He had made the man, and then he needed someone who he could present to the man, who could do a lot of things that the man couldn't. So when God, you know, took out the rib and was creating the woman, apart from what Adam had, God was imputing into the woman some of the things that he left out. He didn't think about into the woman. So when he brought forth that being called woman, she was an improved version. Hallelujah. And that's why the woman is easily connected to the spirit more than the man can. Highly sensitive more than the man is. Easily given to multitask, doing several things at the same time than the man can. Amen. How many of you agree with me that women are very spiritually sensitive, more than men? Actually, they are. Praise the Lord. They are. You know, a typical example was what happened during the fall. That's my own thinking. Lucifer was in the garden long before the woman came. Long, long before. But the man was completely oblivious. He had no clue that there is another spirit. Because spiritually he's not as sensitive as the woman can be. And when the woman showed up, she quickly can sense, she can speak, she can touch. The devil could easily reach her because of her sensitivity. Hallelujah. So the woman is spiritually open. She's easily yielded spiritually and can tap and reach dimensions in the spirit than the man can. And this is because she is an improved version of the man. So for you to think that the woman was created a second grade, I think you're making a big mistake. Are you listening to me? Hallelujah. She is a special breed. Help me tell the woman beside you, you are a special breed. An improved version of the human man. If you are with me, say amen. Amen. The second thing that comes to my mind as I read the scripture is the fact that the woman is not weak. The woman is not weak. The woman is not weaker than the man. The woman is not the weaker vessel. God created her to be taken care of or looked after as you would weaker vessels. But the woman herself is not weak. You must be joking to think that the woman is weak. I believe that the woman has more enduring capacity than the man. The pain the woman can take and endure, the man can't. Hallelujah. I was privileged to be at the ward when my wife was pushing our babies out. I was at all the three occasions, and I looked at her and I said, if it were me, I would just die. Women are strong. What a woman can take, what a woman can accommodate, it will break the man. It will kill him. The harsh condition that the woman can survive to make ends meet, to provide for her children, to keep them safe, the man will become mental if he's subjected to that. To say a woman is weak, you are joking. Can you look at the woman beside you and say, I know you are not weak? Hallelujah. God made the woman different, but he didn't make her weak. The woman is strong. Hallelujah. I like the translation from the King James Version. You know, when it relates the woman with weakness. Now, this is what the King James Version says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. Are you with me, everybody? 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7, it says, just I will jump from where it says, given honor unto the wife, to give something... To give honor to something is to consider the thing precious and of high value. The Bible says the man should regard the woman as precious and of high value. Hallelujah. Say to the women around you, you are precious and you've got high value. Given honor unto the wife as unto weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Now to depict this clearly, you would only need to come to my mother's store when we were all growing up as children. Now, my mother didn't have shelves where she hung utensils. She had what she had this like a basket, big basket, where she stores some valuable, precious, the fragile-looking items. We call them breakable plates, breakable cups or glasses. She stored them there. And she treats them so very special. They are important vessels to her. She would only bring them out when she needs to serve my father food or we had important visitors. Then she goes in there and she digs deep and she brings them. And she treats them so carefully. But when it comes to boys like us, you know, we're given plastic plates and metal plates. And she handles them so delicately, so preciously. You know, she wouldn't allow just anyone wash them. You know, and even when you're washing them, she's so careful. You need to be careful with this. Don't allow them to fall. Why are you handling this glass like this with all soap full of your hand? You have to rinse your hand before you carry it so it doesn't slip and break. So delicately. And after, you know, food is served, it is washed, it is dried, and it is stored back. Are you listening to me? So what God is saying is the woman, in honoring the woman because of her preciousness, because she's of high value as more value than rubies. She's preciously created. The Bible says she is to be honored like you honor that vessel in that house. The way you treat the metal and the plastic vessel is completely different. So what God is saying is that the woman needs to be taken care of gently, tenderly. Not because she's weak, but because that is what she needs to exist and flourish. She needs dealing with considerably. She's not someone to be malhandled. She's not someone to be pushed and thrown all over the place. She is to be treated like my mom's glass cups and plates. Hallelujah. Am I making sense to you? The woman is created special, but not weak. Hallelujah. Number three, the woman is not created inferior to man. The men will look at me with the other, you know, and don't look at me badly. Can I see all the men smiling in this place? Women say amen. Amen. Actually, the woman was not created as inferior to the man. Not at all. She was created different, but not inferior. Not a lesser being at all. The woman can be better, much, much better than the man in so many ways. She can be smarter, she can be more intelligent, more bold, she can achieve greater success than the man can. She's not inferior in any sense to the man. God didn't create her that way. And that's why no woman should allow any man belittle her. No woman should allow anyone treat her as substandard, as inferior, simply because she is a woman. I know from the African thing, you know, we think men are superior. Spirit being, but God has never looked at it that way. He created them differently, and He assigned them different roles and different responsibilities, different purposes they exist for. But no one of them is less than the other. Hallelujah. The man is not actually the head of the woman. Because you are the woman does not mean that any man is your head. Because he's the man, he's your head. He is more important than you know. Listen to me. The man is head of the woman only within the marriage institution. Because I am me, Musa, doesn't mean that Esther Kemcho is less than me. I'm her head. Does that make sense? No. I mean, as far as Esther Kemcho is concerned in her creation and me, equal. Hallelujah. Equal. Jocelyn Jakpacha is not by any way a lesser being to Abiodun. Not at all. And because she's a woman, she should not allow him subjugate her, undermine her, belittle her, simply because she's a woman. No woman should allow a man to treat her that way at a workplace, in a neighborhood, or anywhere. You are not a lesser being to any man. But when it comes to the marriage arrangement, because you are forming a team, you're coming together to exist with someone. And in any group, there is, I mean, if you want order, there should be a head. Am I making sense? If you want to forge ahead in any group, in any gathering, there has to be a head. In the marriage institution, in that arrangement, then God said the man is the head of the woman, the head of the wife. Praise the Lord. So don't women, you've got to understand that. So wherever you are, you need to feel bold, you need to feel confident, you need to feel like you can start neck and neck with any man. You can compete for any position. You can aspire to achieve any height. There's no office that you cannot become. There's no profession that is beneath you. No height you cannot climb to. Never see yourself as inferior. Ephesians chapter 5. Verse 22 says, wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife. You will never come across anywhere in the Bible where it says the man is the head of the woman. At all. The man, the husband, is the head of the wife. So if I catch any man bullying my wife, I will bully him. Because she's not under you. Amen. Praise the Lord. You know, I tell Pastor Eunice, I say, Pastor Eunice, you know, all that matters in your appearance is me. I don't care what any man think. They may think the skirt is too short. They may think the blouse is too big. They may think the hair is that it doesn't make any sense. Once I say yes, because she's my wife. We are not joint head over my wife with anyone. Are you listening to me? And this is why men should not allow others begin to talk to you about, why is your wife like this? What's your problem? Amen. You have no business with that. The other day, the way your wife talked to you, something just went through my body. If it were my wife, I would slap her. Eh? Thank God that she's not your wife. She can never be. So this is my charge to ladies, particularly. Don't be intimidated by the man or the man human. Don't be. Hallelujah. And don't allow anyone to undermine you simply because of your gender. The man is not your head. Only your husband is your head. And Christ is the head of your husband. That is the teaching of the Bible. Amen. Number four, the woman is not created a servant, but an help meet for the man. I don't think if you know where you stand, if you know your position, I don't think you should be intimidated by your wife. Some men are intimidated by their wife's success. They're afraid about their wife's breakthrough, and so they cage them. They put some resistance here and there just to control them, so they don't fly. They say if she succeeds, she'll become proud. The reason why a man will feel that is because he has inferiority complex in him. The woman is not created a servant. She's created and helped me. Now, listen to what the Bible says. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 2, verse 18, and this is what God was thinking when he stooped down to make another version of the man. The Bible says, and the Lord said, it is not good that the man should be alone. I will make him an help meet for him. That meet means a help that is suitable for him. I will create someone that is suitable for him. Someone that can come into his life and help him. And the reason why God said that, because I think after looking at man, he discovered that there are certain things that this man can't achieve on his own. There are certain things that this man can't become on his own. There are things that I want this world to be like. And without someone completely different from him, someone having something more in her than what I put in this original person, the world will not be what I want it to be like. So let me create someone who can stand with this man and help him achieve what my vision is for humanity. And so God created the woman. And this is why I want to say that no woman should be treated as a servant in her relationship. No woman should be treated as a servant in her marriage, because she is not a servant. Hallelujah. She's not a servant. She's a help. A help. And when someone is a help to you, How do you respond to this person? I find help very, very precious. Praise the Lord. When someone is helpful to you, you are thankful, aren't you? You are feeling blessed. You are feeling really privileged. That's who the woman is to the man. She is help. So no woman in her marriage, in any relationship, should be treated as a servant simply because of her gender. Now, but the woman also should recognize that one of the reasons why God created her, or the fundamental reason for her creation, because the man came before her, and the man actually determined her existence. It's because of her. The Bible says the woman was not made, the man was not made for the woman, but the woman was made for the man. So understanding that, a woman would freely, graciously, readily yield her service of help to whosoever that she comes into relationship with, particularly a husband. And so she can go all the way to do absolutely anything in a bid to help, and not feeling like I'm being used, not feeling like I'm a slave, not feeling like I'm taking advantage of, but doing it with joy and with appreciation to God, because I am fulfilling who God made me. Am I making sense to you? Praise the Lord. The woman is blessed. The woman is actually God's favor to the man. The Bible says he who finds a wife obtains favor. The woman is God's favor to the man. The man can enjoy great success, great prosperity, great increase in life, if only he can recognize that the woman can help him achieve that. And men, let's not be too proud or arrogant. There's certain height in life that if you have to climb there, you will need the help of a woman, godly woman. Hallelujah. And when God brings a woman into someone's life, it's because God wants to empower him. God wants to enable him achieve the reason for his creation. Are you with me? Please pay attention. God wants to move him forward. And when the woman avails herself to really help the man, he moves forward. Hallelujah. So men who believe that they are favored by God, that they are blessed, that the women in their lives are actually a gift from God, should allow them space to think, to be creative, space to progress, space to improve themselves. Hallelujah. A man should not stand on the way of his wife's personal development, because her development is for your own good. Hallelujah. You don't like what I'm saying, do you? If I say hallelujah and you like what I'm saying, say amen. A woman's personal development, improvement, is for the good of the man. Don't stand on her way. Hallelujah. Don't be selfish, man. That all you see is how you can progress, how you can improve your life, and really not minding this person. But actually, her improvement, her development, her growth will you never can tell. Possibly, this woman that God brought into your life is a gateway to that £1 million that God wants to bring to that family. The family can never prosper, can never come out of poverty except through her. She is the gateway to that greatness. And you're caging her. It's to your own detriment. Yeah. You know, I get upset when a woman says, I want to go and do my master's, and the man is saying, no, what master's? Who will take care of the children? So how am I going to manage my life? How am I blah, blah, blah? You're caging your wife. You're caging your wife. Oh, I get upset, and I know some men are sometimes so selfish. I don't want to cause any problem. But I think if you want to treat the woman as unto the weaker vessel, and that's what the Bible says you should, which means you treat with her, you deal with her considerably, tenderly, kindly, as someone that is precious. I think you want to consider her feelings in your dealings. Now, I have seen men who come to Sheffield and they settle down. The woman was a bank manager in Africa, and he was an IT guy, and he felt, I want to come to England. I just want to leave Nigeria, come to England, and I've applied and I've got this job. So we're coming. She says, honey, but what about my banking job? I've risen all these years. I've put in a lot in this bank. And this is what I've become. And I've just become this. I'm just starting to settle. And he says, no, we just have to move. I'm the head. And she moves. And they arrive, let's say Barnsley. They arrive Barnsley. So they settle. And he got into job, and because she comes in, so she stays home, taking care of children, doing schoolwork and all that, and doing some care job, cleaning job here and there. And after all frustrations and all that, 1 year, 2 years, 3 years later, this job opens for her in Barnsley, and she got employed into a bank. She never thought she could, a black African woman, come in and get in a banking job, good job, banking job in Barnsley. She said, wow, glory be to God. And 1 year later, he says, honey, there's an open door in Scotland. It's a bigger job, better pay. It's going to help the family, you know, and it's a kind of a promotion to me. And so we're going to Scotland. She said, honey, I've been believing God for this. And God just opened the door. And I really want to also get into the system, develop my career, and also grow. He says, I'm the head. And we're just going to go to Scotland because this opening that God has given me, if I don't take it, I don't know when next a door like this will open. Selfish. Self-centered. All you think about, it's your career, your ego, your promotion. What about the woman? What about the woman? Sometimes the man needs to step down, make sacrifices for the woman. Let her grow. Let her develop herself. Let her improve. And you never can tell. Maybe it's by way of her improvement that breakthrough will come to the family. And as long as you cage her, stand on the way of her progression, you hold the family back. Men, you've got to change your mind. African men especially. I feel like punching you sometimes. Encourage your wife to move forward and explore. Encourage her to grow, expand, and achieve success. Don't be intimidated, please. One thing a man should never forget in your dealings with your wife, men, I'm speaking to you now. One you never forget is what the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 7. The Bible says, given honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life. Listen to me. The same grace that you carry, she carries. The same Holy Ghost that is inside of you is resident on the inside of her as well. She has the capacity to dream dreams, see visions, the capacity to do great exploit, because she carries the same measure of the grace of God that is on your life. The headship is a family marriage arrangement. It doesn't make her any less or inferior to you. You've got to understand that. As a matter of fact, in terms of the human man, she is an improved version of you. A woman, number five, can be more, I know I've said that in the early, but can be more spiritually inclined and easily yielded to God. Easily yielded to the Spirit. Easily. Hallelujah. This is what, when you study the Bible, you can see that the woman, if she can easily open up to the Spirit, if she wants to connect to the devil, she can connect to the devil easily. Are you listening to me? But if she connects to God, she can do mighty things. Hallelujah. She can do mighty things. The first miracle of the dead coming back to life in the Bible, the first, is related to a woman's faith. The widow of Zarephath. In 1 Kings chapter 17. Even the second miracle of a child coming back to life from the dead is related to a woman's faith. The woman of Shunem. The Shunammite woman. Hallelujah. If you look at Jesus' ministry closely, you will see that all Jesus thrived. Jesus moved with ease because of the support of many women in his ministry. Hallelujah. When it concerns the matters of the Spirit, the matters of faith, the affairs of the kingdom, women are not tails. Hallelujah. And so this is why, even though when it comes to marriage, you know, the man is the head. When it comes to matters of the spirit, matters of the faith, you know, when it comes to marriage, the Bible says the woman should submit to the man in all things. Is that okay? Hallelujah. I know I'm not doing marriage seminar, but a kind of a marriage seminar. But when it comes to the matters of the faith, matters of the kingdom, matters of the spirit, the Bible says, submit yourself one to another. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 21. It says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. For the man in his marriage to think that it's only him that can hear God, what God is saying for the family, it's only him that can receive from God, I think it's a mistake. That's my personal opinion. I think it's a mistake. Hallelujah. I think it's a great mistake. There are many women that heard from God first. Finally, particularly for the woman, and God ordained that the woman, the moment you step into the marriage, the moment you move from single into the marriage life, God says that now you have to go about with your head covered. The moment, you know, you step into marriage, you are now required to go about with your head covered. Hallelujah. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 22 says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything." Are you listening to me? Be to their own husbands. So the aspect of submission, the woman's submission, is strictly limited to the marriage institution. Hallelujah. And once she's in the marriage, one of the aspects of her demonstration of submission is covering of head. Now this is what it says. "But every woman," 1 Corinthians chapter 11 verse 15, "but every woman who prays or prophesies with her head uncovered dishonors her head, as it is the same as having her head shaved." I don't want to confuse you. I don't want to confuse you. I'm not dealing with. I'm not talking about putting on of veils in its literal sense. Now, the tradition then is that the way you will know that a woman is no longer single, but is now married. And by marriage, it means that she has submitted herself to the authority of a man. She has now come under the authority of a man. The way she demonstrates that, the way she shows that, the way everyone sees and knows that this is a woman that has come under the authority of a man, is that she puts on veils. Hallelujah. That's what they do. You put on the veil, and the moment they see you, they can understand the difference between you and the other person. Now, putting on veil shows that the woman recognizes the authority and the headship of the man. Now, the scripture, is given to us in the context of cultures and traditions. So we need to be able to understand all of that. But the putting on of the covering of the head means that you recognize the authority of a man. So what I'm trying to say, a married woman should never go about her dealings not recognizing the role of a man, her husband, in her life. Hallelujah. Women, you don't like that. I can see you don't like that. Some of you don't like that. But a married woman should not go about doing things, you know, engaging things, handling the affairs of this life in disregard to the authority of a man over her if she's married. Your husband's opinion, your husband's thinking counts before God absolutely. So no woman should engage life not recognizing the headship of her husband. Amen. What he says, Pastor K will say amen to this. Amen. Everybody say amen. Amen. Pastor Musa says amen too. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. And actually men are particular about that. I know that. I'm particular about that. But I'm just throwing this to the women in this house, those who are married. you don't disrespect, disregard, ignore what the man is thinking or is saying. And this is why it is important that a woman does not go ahead to enter into a covenant of marriage with someone that she cannot allow leadership over her. Before you marry someone, one of the things that you have to consider is whether this man is someone I can submit. Submission is not fought for. It's willingly given. You willingly come below and say, you can now lead. You can now instruct me. You can now guide me. And what you say is of value to me. What you think counts. Any woman that does not see a man having the capacity to function in that role in her life should not marry the person, if you're a Christian. But once you accept that he is your husband, you are saying, I have given you authority and leadership over me. And a woman must go doing things, engage in life in recognition of the head. She must be covered. In other words, she must go about in submission, in regard for what the man has said. Hallelujah. Very, very important. And finally, the issue of covering of head also means that the woman should not uncover her head. It's also saying that the woman should not throw her husband in the mud in the public. Don't embarrass your husband in the public. Don't put him to a public shame. Don't go out there and talk about his failures, his weaknesses, and make the world see him as being foolish and stupid. Amen. You cover the head. Outside there, you want to project your husband as bold, smart, wonderful husband, great father. Hallelujah. Even if you are the one who is bringing in the income and is paying all the bills, you understand that's what's going on. But out there, you project him as the breadwinner, the supplier. Amen. Project him out. Don't uncover your head. And one of the reasons why the Bible says we shouldn't do that, it says because of the angels. Now, angels are ministering spirits. There are certain things that cannot work for you until angels step in. The Bible says God sends them as ministering spirits, and they minister to heirs of salvation. They break open closed doors. They move demons out of your way. They command situations to turn around for you. Angels still work. But angels don't work where there's rebellion. Hallelujah. They don't work where there's rebellion. It reminds them of Lucifer, the fallen angels. See, because of the angels, the woman must cover the head. In other words, stay under authority of the man. Am I speaking to you this morning? Did I bless you? Give the Lord a clap of praise. Let us pray. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What I have said, Lord, let it help shape our lives, shape our relationships, shape our dealings with one another, shape the way we view the world. In moving forward, oh God, may we achieve the kind of exploits that we've never imagined here, in the name of Jesus. May the Lord bless you. May the Lord honor you. May the Lord bless your union. May the Lord prosper your dreams. May the Lord bring you to a place of genuine satisfaction. Genuine satisfaction. In the name of Jesus. I bless every home in this place. I bless every marriage in this place. I bless every man and every woman in this place. I pronounce the goodness of God over you. In Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Give the Lord a clap of praise.